biggest highlight and takeaway from yesterday is a cat running on the field. Is that where we're at now? Is that where we're at? Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on a, what the hell's today? Wednesday? Tuesday. Wow. Tuesday, August the 3rd, as we didn't update the thing right here. I'll just do that right there. August 3rd, 2021, your host, Sturch and Gooch. And, of course, behind the glass, we have AJ Bascone, who just updated his Basco bets behind you. I don't know. Does that say 1750 up? Yep. 1750. All right. So that means $170.50?
I think it's $175.
$175 up. All right. So you're making your way. So as soon as you reach around $200,000 to $300,000, we'll get you back on and we'll get you getting people money and paid. Good job, though, for being up on your bets. But yeah, so not much to talk about when it comes to the New York Yankees because, for God's sakes, every time we get excited about this team, something happens. And now, like, the exciting part of last night's game was the cat running around the field, which actually happened when I was at a Dallas Giants game a couple, I think it was 2 years back, where a black cat ran across the field, blah, blah, blah. He was the MVP. This cat was the MVP again, escaped. He dodged security like the drunkest person out there who could just dodge security, keep weaving, and, you know.
Cat actually looks like my cat, Bartolo. Shout out to Bartolo. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, as soon as I show my wife, she's like, oh, it looks like Dez, my cat. And I'm like, no, my cat's gray. This thing is orange. But, yeah, so the Yankees obviously dropped this one to the Baltimore Orioles. We won't even get into the game because it was abysmal. But the one thing that does is a glaring defeat, I guess, besides the actual loss, is that we're losing Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole was supposed to start today against the Baltimore Orioles. He tests positive for COVID, so clearly he will be missing, what, one, two? Like, how's that going to work?
Maybe,
like,
he'll get his shit together over these 2 weeks because he's been abysmal.
Yeah, I mean,
Astro start.
I mean, it would have been nice to have him against the Baltimore Orioles. You know what I mean? Like, you would think that this maybe would be the get-right start for him, but it doesn't happen. It won't happen. And that's another thing to add to the Yankee season. Again, I won't get too far into it because it's depressing at this point. You rattle off three wins that you had to have and you were going to have because it's the Miami Marlins. Then you get excited because it's the Baltimore Orioles, and you're like, we can win another three in a row, and then we're going to go play Seattle, beat them up too. And now this, you know, the new look, New York Yankees.
I saw this coming a mile away.
Did you?
Yeah. The classic Yankees. I don't want to even talk about
it. I'm pretty sure Urshela's out now.
That it was going to happen, and it happened. And now we can still salvage the series. It's a loss. It's not the end of the world. It's baseball. That's what happens. Teams lose games. They won five of their last six going in. It was only bound to happen.
Yeah. So enough about that. Yeah. I mean, look, there's not much to say about it. So the Yankees get back out there tonight. I don't even know who's on the mound. I haven't even looked. His replacement. I guess they just skip his turn in the rotation and they just go from there. Oh no, I think it's Cortez, actually. I think it's Cortez on the mound, Mr. Stash himself. You got the Cortez stash going on there, AJ. I kind of dig. Are you doing that on purpose? Did you lose a bet? What happened here?
No, so I know this mustache is ugly as fuck, right? But what I've decided to do is since I got my podcast, a little gig here as the producer, I'm going to grow this mustache out until I, gain some traction for the Fantasy Guy podcast.
So. Okay, so you're just going to grow your mustache out.
It's a playoff mustache, but it's going all year because I never give up.
Who's in the playoffs?
Job's not done.
Who's in the playoffs?
I'm in the playoffs, me, my mind. Always in the playoffs.
All right, you got it. There's your it's a playoff mustache. I like it. He is keeping it clean, though. He is playing the New York Yankee role. He's not growing a beard. He's just growing the stash. So that's allowed here at Chop Sports. We are allowed to grow beards and stashes as we want. But it looks like I left it up to Gooch to do the rundown today. I ran a little late. Ran a little behind with the workout and had to go stop and see Dr. Sean Basinger of Health and Fitness Professionals. Had to stop by the office in Woodbridge for all of your physical therapy. Acupuncture, chiropractic, occupational therapy, cryotherapy. They do it all. Pain management, they'll give you a nice little shot in the arm to make sure you feel good. Or what's the epidural? Epidural thing? Is it when it goes in your back? That's the epidural,
right?
I don't know.
I know an epidural goes to pregnant ladies when they're giving birth.
Well, that's a pain reliever. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So therefore, you can go see Sean for that. He's got offices over
pregnant
in Woodbridge.
Pregnant ladies.
Which is, by the way, my wife. So,
I'm not sure if that's offensive to say a pregnant lady.
How is it?
I don't know.
Are we there as a culture?
When you say, hey, lady.
Hey, lady?
Hey, lady. That lady. I feel like lady is like for old ladies.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a formal thing, like ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, maybe. hey lady or pregnant, hey woman.
The pregnant lady is a.
I think of hey woman. I think of whatchamacallit, Clubber Lang. Hey woman. Hey woman. What?
What is it? When I was in Miami, that was actually one of the first times I heard somebody call a woman lady. It was my friend. We had to pay a woman, a random woman, $50 to drive us to the stadium because our Uber dropped us off about a cool 50 minutes away. And the woman was so, crazy. She was like, all right, give us the money now. We're like, okay, we'll hand it now. We're
okay, lady.
People. Yeah, and then my friend said, okay, lady. And then the whole rest of the car ride was so awkward.
Well, so maybe don't call women lady.
Yeah, okay. No.
Let's, all right, fine, done, settled, never again. So, yeah, you did the rundown. You took care of a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today. Obviously, we are on day three of our 32 teams in 32 days. We will cover the Miami Dolphins, who finished second in the AFC East last year. We'll cover them from top to bottom, give our little prediction on them. Before that, we'll talk about some of the NBA free agency, which I swear I announced yesterday that it started today. But I get, well, maybe it does start today, but like it's all the tampering stuff like the NFL does, where you hear about all the signings first, and then they finally get to sign their shit.
I think it opened yesterday.
And then I was wrong because I could have sworn, AJ.
Supposedly contracts are going to be signed Friday. So all of this
it hasn't even opened.
So it's a tampering thing. Okay, cool. That's fine. All right, so we'll talk about that, a couple of the big splashes in free agency in the NBA. But first, I see that you wrote down a free season-long running pick'em pool. What do we got going on, Gooch?
It's kind of the same thing that I did with the Super Bowl pool back in January.
Okay.
Where it's going to be a free thing driven by people going and following our social medias, random social medias. If you're on Twitter and that's where you see it, then you got to go follow us on Twitter. If you see it on Facebook, then you got to go on Instagram and Twitter. If you see it on Instagram, you got to share it. You know, there's going to be a few different ways to get into the pool, but there'll be weekly prizes in the end of the season prize. So cost nobody anything.
And this is just picking straight games, not spreads or anything? Or are we doing spreads? What do you think?
We're grown-ups here, Dave.
Okay.
We use the point spread.
Okay, we use
Come
the point
on,
spread.
Dave. We're not doing this pick. This is not. This isn't like your office pool with six ladies in it and a couple men. That
I
sit
like the green
the
team, so they're going to win.
The water cooler. No, this is a real one. We're going to do the point spreads, I guess, whatever they're released at, because people are going to set their picks early sometimes.
Truth.
And it's just going to be a running thing. You could get in it any week, but if the idea would be to get in it week one so you have a chance at the end of the season prize. If you get in it week two, you can still win the weekly, but you can't win
the season. How do you win the end of season prize? The most wins? Like, compile the most wins throughout the year? This is my first pick 'em.
Dave's got it.
Yes?
Dave's got it.
Okay,
yes,
cool.
The most wins throughout the season accumulated winner.
Okay, cool.
Winner.
No, I just, that's it. Again, one of those things I've never done, so this is one of the first times I can do that. God damn, I did something to the old bicep today. Did shoulders today, hurt the bicep yesterday, just decided to keep doing it, and now I'm hurting. Oh, boy, that one stunk. But anyway, all right, so cool. Another thing to do with Chop Sports.
We'll get that up and running at some point this week. I'm not going to say it's going
to
be today.
You gotta help me out with my rules on my my league, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to like set the same one so we're on
what
par.
What I'll do is, this is how I'm going to help you, because I have zero desire to.
You're going
to
tell AJ to do it.
No. I'm just going to literally pull up the scoring and the rule sets for my other leagues, and I'm going to flip my laptop around and say, Dave, now pull up your scoring and just go cross-reference.
Gotcha. Easy money. So that is for
It took me 20 minutes to do three leagues, so it should take you seven.
Seven.
Six.
Six and a half over under, we'll see. But all right, yeah, so that's also, that draft is going to happen for the 32-team league, which is not a 32-team.
Draft order that I erased off the board.
So oh, God.
You said you have screenshots of it?
Of the draft order?
The draft order.
Oh, boy. We can go back to the video, hopefully.
I was thinking about it, and I actually read a comment that you said to Ray Ray, like, watch the video. And I was like, I'm not watching that fucking video right now to get the draft order and write it down again.
You know what? Then I definitely
there
have
it. There should be something posted.
I have it. Anyway, I think.
Well, not now. It doesn't matter. But
anyway, the draft order.
Because that's the only thing I have to do for the AFC side of things is set the draft order.
Okay.
And then we're good to go.
Cool. And those drafts will go down the Tuesday before the season starts, because we're not going to do it on Labor Day because people are away. As a matter of fact, Scott's on his honeymoon, so he's going to have to break his ventures to do a draft, and he's really excited about that. So
I'm sure he actually is.
He is. No, I mean, I'm sure he's really excited, but I'm sure Katie, his wife.
Well, that's a different story.
And I was thinking, lady is mad.
You put two separate times. I was kind of looking at that and being like, we might be able to kind of
do it at the same time.
Yeah, because...
But if we have everybody here, it's going to be nuts.
Okay, two things. One, no way everybody's coming here.
This is very true.
Right? And even if they did...
It'll probably be like Ben Wexler. Even if they did,
do you think it's going to be really... What are we on? A day-night doubleheader where it's like, okay, guys, you're done drafting. Get the fuck out because we have a whole other 16 people coming in. No. What I think we should do is just open it up. We have plenty of room now that I rearranged everything.
For the 15th time since we've moved in here.
We have this room, we have the office, and we have the common area. So if we get 20 people here, that's very, very easily doable. The idea that we would actually have a full 20 people here, I don't think it's going to happen. We're going to set it up online. People are going to, it's a Tuesday night.
Right.
So there's going to be some people that want to show up.
They can get acupuncture while they wait.
There's going to be a lot of people that say they're going to show up
right.
and then don't.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just play it by ear on that. But,
all right.
But I set mine for 8, and then you already had me at 9. I'm not doing it that fucking late.
Okay. All right. So maybe it's a 16 team, so it's actually going to be a little longer. So yeah, maybe from like 8 to 11, everybody's here, or maybe even 7 to 10. Or we can do
7 to 10,
right.
Or 7 till whenever it ends.
Right. And
everybody shows up that wants to show up. You're running one, I'm running one. Neither of us are in the same league.
So yeah,
you can run ours. So we can just run it simultaneous. Yeah.
You know what?
That's the move.
That's probably the move. You're right. So that's the big fantasy football move for our league. And of course, we have a million other leagues going on. It's just fantasy football season's here. I'm excited. On the way over here at a red light, I will preface it was a red light. I got a notification about the NFL Dallas Cowboys Hard Knocks trailer. Watched it.
There it is, the first Cowboy reference of the podcast.
It's
actually the second
11
because
minutes.
You had to bring up Dez, the cat. That's
the name of my cat, bro.
It would actually be the third if you count the cat story from the Giants first Cowboys game that he was at.
Oh, wow. So there is
AJ. AJ's from downtown. From deep downtown.
Oh, I had something good to say and I fucking fucked it up.
I'm glad because you know what? It was probably just another diss on me. So anyway, I saw the Hard Knocks trailer, which you know what drops tomorrow? All About the Star, the brand new podcast. I sat down with Jay Tuck of the Twitterverse. He is a phenomenal content creator. He's got about 2,500 subscribers on his YouTube channel. He puts out a lot of cool shit. He just got out of Oxnard, fourth Cowboy reference, for the training camp.
What is this Oxnard? That's
where send me location.
Tony Ferguson is from Oxnard. And he's like, the mean street. That's, yeah.
Well, mean whatever. Streets of Oxnard. They have a mean streets in Oxnard?
No.
I didn't think so. that podcast drops tomorrow. Along with Keep It Real with Elena Christina drops tomorrow. She's going to be back in studio on Thursday to record episode 3. So she's ahead of the game. She's got some really cool TikTok influencers. If you're a TikTok fan, be sure to follow that podcast as well. By the way, yeah, it's called Follow now on iTunes. No more subscriptions. It's Follow. So yeah, follow all of our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Check them out. Today, which dropped was Jimmy Palumbo's show. Very funny stuff. He dropped today as well as Chopheads MMA dropped yesterday, but promoted today. So that's how I knew it was available because Chris Gucci and his sidekick, Tommy D, which, by the way, I want to show you this. I was why is my ring notification going off? Anyway, I was driving here and I was stopped at the red light and I was parked right behind a truck. It said this on the back, Gooch. You got to look up and see it. It said Tommy Gate. So I was like, I wanted to keep that just to send to Tommy in case he's ever in any kind of controversy. It's called Tommy Gate. And like now I have a sign. So that's kind of cool. So
I know I was some excited. Things about Tommy that are really, really shady shit going on right now when it comes to his workout
he's regiment. On TRT. I'll tell you right now, I'll blow his spot up. It's the testosterone replacement therapy. A lot of the guys are on that. As you get older, that's what we got to do. I'm on test boosters. You know, those things, they grow your nat. They like unhinge your natural
your
testosterone.
Your ball sack gets full
listen,
of manhood.
Yes. Listen, I am now one kid deep with another one on the way. I'm probably done after that. But I also don't want to be completely done. You know, like the energy level has to be up. Right before we started, did I not say my energy level was down?
Yeah, but it feels like it's up right now.
It is up. It's kind of rebounded. I like that. So anyway, that was the plugs for all the podcasts. So be sure to check out all those podcasts. Anything else drop tomorrow? Yeah, Wednesday, Chart Choppers. So be sure to check out Alan Austin's next installment of Chart Choppers.
I'm still trying to think about what I was going to say before.
No, just keep it there. When you do find out, write it down and it'll be your soft close.
Really bothering me.
Yeah, well, how many people are texting you as we record, by the way?
Just one.
Okay, is it worth it?
What?
The text.
I don't know. I didn't read it yet.
Are his initials JM?
Good not. Call. Speaking of guests in studio. We will have Paz here tomorrow. So all you Paz fans out there, try to line up outside. He'll be signing autographs. Kidding. But do buy his shirt. Go buy his stuff over on chopsports.shop. But so with that, before we get into AJ's sports update, I do want to touch on a very important birthday today. I have to give a special shout out. Happy 44th birthday to Tom Brady. Scoochie looks at me like, is this guy serious right now? It is his 44th birthday, and you know who's also, I think it's his birthday, Zach Wilson.
22.
It's just so crazy, bro. When you see two guys playing the game of football, both are in the same league 20 years apart. That's
Tom Brady
nuts.
Looks like an old, decrepit dirtbag right now.
I mean, he does, it's starting to show. Maybe he's a little less on the kale juice or whatever his diet consists of, but it is starting.
Well,
his age is
apart
for sure.
So that's what happens when you're a Florida
you get like
man,
withered.
You just start turning the fuck up.
Right.
And Tom Brady's been hammered every day since the fucking Super Bowl.
Since he decided to throw the Lombardi into the river, or at least to Gronk, and you know, thank God he didn't spike it. But yeah, so anyway, AJ, bro, catch us up with all things baseball. Besides, do me a favor, don't read the Yankee score, because I don't want to be reminded again, so you can skip over that one and give me the rest. Hit it, bro.
I was quite excited to read that one. all right, so I'm here with the Curtis L's House of Sports update for all your realty needs. Make sure to hit up Curtis Counts. All right, so let's skip the Yankees game. 7-1 Orioles.
I just said for you not to do it, and you read the score off anyway.
I didn't go into depth or anything. I saved you some pain.
Yeah, you did.
Well, here you go. The Mets yet again can't hit a baseball. They lose I think 4 of the last 5, 6-3 to the Marlins. The Indians went against the Blue Jays. That went into extra innings, and I had thought it was Framil Reyes, but it was actually Jose Ramirez who hit the home run in the top of the 10th to lift them over the Blue Jays. The Phillies and the Nationals went at it yesterday, and the Phillies were able to scathe over a quiet victory with a 7-5 win. The Mariners faced the Rays and were able to upset them with a very solid victory, 8-2. Flex and flex those muscles. Yesterday, the Rangers were able to beat the Angels in an upset, and it looks like the Angels are kind of slumping. They're sitting at 52-54. Rangers win that game 4-1.
I would say an under 500 team isn't slumping. They're just not good. Like, yeah. I mean, they're okay. I mean, that's surprising considering how good they were doing.
That's exactly.
I know Tani was ripping the cover off the ball every time he stepped up to the plate. I saw a phenomenal meme yesterday. It was like a video, but it was from Major League 2, and it's just like it was Bob Uecker. You've seen the Major League movies, right? Oh God, please. No. Oh my God, forget it. Just keep doing your update. Now I'm just gonna go.
I mean, I haven't even seen The Godfather. I just haven't seen anything, really.
What kind of Italian are you?
I'm a fake Italian.
Jesus,
they call me Tony Garritz.
Go ahead. What?
I started to watch The Godfather, and I stopped after like 30 minutes.
You couldn't get into it?
Yeah.
It's not Goodfellas, that's for sure. It's not Goodfellas, not a Bronx Tale. Honestly, I feel like Godfather's movies are apparently the greatest movies ever made, maybe even the sequel.
I'm going to be honest.
I wasn't a huge fan of
Goodfellas.
Really? That's a good movie, bro. Ray Liotta is so good, bro.
I think I've just seen too many Guidos.
I just think that whole like overdone Italian thing.
It wasn't overdone when it came out. Now it's overdone. Yes.
So I'm over it. That's what we'll say. I'm not good with all those Italian mafia movies.
Speaking of over.
Miss you with that?
Miss me with the Italian movies.
All right. Go ahead.
Missed the Brewers with that, because the Brewers were able to beat the Pirates 6-2. Fairly easy victory. Eduardo Escobar makes a nice bounce in the blue and yellow for the Brewers. They get that 6-2. And the Giants are able to pretty easily, I guess, pounce on the Diamondbacks 11-8. That is your sports update.
I didn't hear any absolute shutouts. No shutouts at all? Maybe it skipped over. No, not one shutout. Wow, that's got to be a stat of some variation. Not one team in Major League Baseball got shut out yesterday. Maybe we're the first to discover that. Huh? Probably not. It probably happens all the time.
I wonder how often that actually happens. Probably more often than not. There's maybe a shutout once in a while, specifically even now.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. The way
I
see it.
This is 1960.
So that is your update. Thank you, AJ, of course. And that's brought to you by Curtis Sells Houses for all your realty needs. Appreciate the support, Curtis, as always, for supporting Chop Sports. So before we get into the NBA action, free agency, and before we break down the Miami Dolphins, we are going to pay the bills here and take a little bit of a break. And when we come back, like I said, a lot of things happened in the NBA yesterday. The Knicks spending money they don't have. So we'll see how that turns out and if that translates into dubs. We'll be back after this.
Hey guys, this is Sturge from Chop Sports, and I want to talk to you about a new hobby of mine, and that's real estate. Ever since we brought on our resident realtor here at Chop Sports, that's all I can think about. So we got another one. You know who's really good at this stuff? Jay Devlin of CRG Homes. Jay is out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and business is booming. Whether you're looking to relocate, buy, rent, or literally purchase property and watch your stacks get higher, Jay is the guy to do this for you. He's already in the process of helping me out right now on a possible summer home. Call Jay right now, 843-315-5913, and have yourself a chat and learn about all the perks and tell him Chop Sports sent you.
All right, welcome back to the Chop Sports Podcast here on a Tuesday, August the 3rd. We want to thank, of course, all of our advertisers for coming on board with us and helping us out as we grow this business. So we got NBA free agency that technically doesn't start until tomorrow when they put, you know, ink to paper, but all the tampering and all the numbers came out, and there's a lot of things that raise a lot of eyebrows. Gooch, when you look at NBA from a wider spectrum, we'll get into the Knicks in a second, but what was the biggest splash? I mean, you wrote down a lot here, but like, what's the biggest splash?
The biggest splash is that these middle of the road, seventh guy in the rotation, sixth guy in the rotation players are making what the best defensive end in the NFL makes in a season.
That's insanity. And it doesn't make
any
sense.
The contracts that I'm looking at are absolutely fucking insane. So obviously, Chris Paul, it was smart for him to do the opt-out. You were questioning it yesterday.
Yeah, I was curious.
Well, he thinks that he's worth $30 million a year over 4 years, and that's what the Phoenix Suns
paid. So he declined the 44, turned it to 30, but longer.
Turned it to longer. Yeah, it turned it to 120.
Right. Okay. Great.
Because now he's getting paid at the back end when he's probably going to be washed. Some would say he's borderline washed towards the end of the season now.
He's half the reason why they're there.
You get what I'm saying? He's not
he's not Chris Paul of old. Yes. Got it. Fine.
He's not washed. Okay. I understand that. But some people make the case that he's a liability on defense. That's not what we're here to do anyway.
Sure.
All right. So Lonzo Ball signing trade with the Bulls. They also signed Caruso. But Lonzo Ball, I feel like, is the most underpaid guy on this whole list.
I mean, you're looking, made $85
million. 85 over 4 years. The Knicks signed Evan Fournier, 4 years, $80 million. Now, this is a guy that's averaged 14, 3, and 3 over his career. Mm-hmm. I think he's almost 30.
Right.
He's been in the league for 9 years. The Knicks are going to regret these types of moves when next season hits and there's a shitload of free agents available and they're not going to be able to sign two guys, which is what I thought they were setting themselves up for. Derrick Rose had 3 years.
He played like a different Derrick Rose this year. But
Derrick Rose wore down at the end of games if they started him. If you look at the games that he started,
I know we had that discussion with it. Like, put him in the starting lineup.
When he started, he wasn't really shit in the second half. But when Derrick Rose was off the bench, he is high energy guy. Are they going to be? I guess the contracts are what they are, and this is what NBA players get. But he's making more than, I think he's almost making $15 million a year. Was it 3 years, $43 million?
What? Who?
Derrick Rose.
I didn't see the contract, so but I did see for the years.
Yeah, I just think that they're paying a lot of money for guys that aren't going to be starters. And now I know that the NBA is, I guess, a huge salary cap at this point. They have to be.
I just saw it the other day. They have, what was it, 216 or something like that? That was the salary cap that it came out with. And then like something taxed or whatever was like 230 something. Go ahead, AJ. No, you got it? Yes?
Yeah, I think it was that. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, wow. See, I'm actually doing my research after all. But yeah, so I don't understand how some of these contracts work considering. But then again, it is different because NBA rosters aren't as deep as an NFL roster.
Of course.
So now I guess they have that opportunity to pay these guys because there's only 12 dudes on the bench.
But the NBA... The NBA TV deal isn't even a fraction of what the NFL TV deal is. So the money in the NFL is absurd. I understand that there's a 53 man that you got to take care of financially, but are you looking up the TV deal?
No. I want to see. Actually, I'm looking up something else because it's actually something that was alarming the other day, and I want your take on it.
But I guess to your question, what was the biggest splash? I would say the stars that got re-upped. There was an extension for Jimmy Butler. There was an extension for... Not Kyle Lowry. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I hope I'm pronouncing that name right. He got paid. Mm-hmm. Paid.
Shai
got, I guess, 4 years. What was the totals on his, AJ?
He got a nice contract. He got 5 years, $170 million rookie max contract.
Yeah, and then Trae Young got an extendo where he got the super max, but... No, he didn't get the supermax. He got an actual max, but there's a supermax escalator in that deal. So if he makes an all-NBA team... In that 4 years, then his contract bumps up to supermax, which I think that's the first contract that I've seen of this kind.
And it's, yeah, it's already worth 5 years, $207 million as
you
well.
You know, all right, so this is where I wanted to pull this up, because obviously Cheyenne Baez, was that the UFC fighter?
Yeah.
That won the other night? Okay. Somebody brought up Joe Pompolino. All right, it looks like he's a writer of some variation. Anyway.
Also, Cheyenne Baez with a beautiful head kick finish the other day.
Well, this is why she got the fight of the night bonus, right? And there's a $50,000 bonus. Yeah. $50,000 bonus. And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, okay, that's not, you know, let's look at why, you know, pay these people. So this guy, Joe, on Twitter, broke down what each organization pays based off their revenues in their TV deals. MLB is a 50, they pay, given to the athletes. So revenue based off given to the athletes. MLB pays 54% on anything they do, okay? The NBA is a 50-50 split. So that TV deal that you were talking about, 50% of that's going to the teams, which is incredible, right? And the players. So that's how they probably get their crazy deals, right? NHL is also the same thing, 50-50. The NFL, which is a little alarming, when they have their new TV deal, the athletes are getting 48%. Bro, the UFC is at 16% of the revenue. That is awful and like just disturbing by any stretch. I'm not trying to segue into the UFC, but like, holy shit.
It's not awful for the UFC.
No, of course. Like the guys that are invested in the UFC and Uncle Dana, those guys are cashing in. But now the fighters who are providing the entertainment, putting their lives on the line, aren't getting shit.
The main difference is every one of the sports that you named has a players union. The UFC does not. They're all, and the reason
being, what's to stop them from doing that? Like creating some kind of union for the fighters?
Because technically they're not hired by anybody. It's not like they're hired by the UFC.
They're
like,
contracted with the UFC, no?
They're contracted, but they're not. Look, to explain it better, the NFL teams sign players. They don't work for the NFL. They work for the team. Now, when you go to an MMA school and you join a team, you're not working for the team. You're actually paying them. There's a very
to be in like a school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no representation that's taking care of all of the fighters. What it's going to take is a long time and a lot of really good people to implement this, and it's going to be done for the future of the sport.
I feel like old fighters should be the ones to start this union.
Another problem with that is that old fighters aren't really, a lot of them don't have the money. It's going to take a guy like a Conor or somebody that has generational wealth to sit here and start to fund this process. You see, there's a lot of problems with MMA, and typically it all comes down on the fighters. The fighters suffer. But when you do make it, you're a fucking star.
You're Conor a made McGregor, man, made woman.
Conor McGregor was the highest paid athlete.
Ronda Rousey.
In the world. Conor, last year, highest paid athlete in the world across the board. Soccer, NFL, baseball,
you yeah, but that's it. Not based off of UFC paying him.
It doesn't matter.
His overall it worth is from matter. Proper 12 but, and whatever
but
else
he's
invested
in. Where did he build
in?
His star?
Of course. No, I get it.
So when you're so talking
UFC's
about-
So UFC's basically giving you the platform.
When you're talking about an NFL player's worth, it's not just based off of what he makes by his football play. It's based off of his revenue from his contracts. I mean, his endorsements, his appearances.
Yeah, like Dak Prescott made a phenomenal amount of money, and he wasn't even signed yet for his extension. And he made like, why don't we just do a ticker?
We
got to
start a ding button every time he inserts Dak into the fucking conversation.
Dak or Cowboys, I get it. But no, I was just, like I said, that was alarming, and I know that was a segue, not a segue, but that was like off the beaten path of the NBA, contract, but it's all money stuff. Yeah, so this is how the NBA is doing what they're doing because they're getting these massive deals from TNT, from ESPN,
and there's
from
only
wherever
13
else.
Guys on a roster,
right? So that's why it's divided up.
Even in baseball, 25.
You
and
can
then
give you can give these guys a serious chunk of change. It just seems astronomical in the grand scheme of things when guys like you just said, seventh guys off the bench are getting made Aaron Donald money. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't make any sense to me.
With a lot less to risk, and it's fully guaranteed in the NBA. We're in the NFL.
Is it fully guaranteed?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. These guys are getting, Knicks fans should know, they paid Allen Houston $25 million a year for no reason.
Well, ain't Bobby Bonilla, that's for sure. But that is also guaranteed money. Baseball is guaranteed money as well. I know that for a fact. The NFL is the one that's just like really cutthroat. You have, you know, this massive contract one day, and then you become Carson Wentz and become a piece of glass, and that stuff can go away very quick. That's why all these guys, and this is not to educate anybody, anybody's listening to this podcast probably knows what the hell's going on, but this is why these NFL players push for those guarantees and those signing bonuses.
I used to be in the school of thought where anytime a player held out, specifically a Packer player, I would be like, what the fuck? Why is he, you know?
Right.
As you get older, I mean, for me, I start to understand that I'm very rarely on the team side when it comes to contract negotiations. I might be on the team's line of thinking where it's saying, like, understanding the business, I thought it was possibly a bad move to sign Aaron Jones when I'm looking at the future contracts that they're about to be up for renegotiation. We got a Devontae, a Jair. Za'Darius Smith restructure.
Okay.
He did restructure his contract, so that's taken care of. But as these guys that you draft perform, you don't want to see the Micah Hydes, the Casey Haywards, the Randall Cobbs, the guys that you draft go to other places because you don't have enough to pay them and you're paying a running back all that money.
Well, in that same regard, like, that's why I was team, like, again, you want to hit the ding? The team Dak Prescott ding. With his deal. Same thing with Zeke. I think the Zeke contract was a little bit
you
crazy.
You were wrong to be team Zeke in the contract negotiations, in my opinion. Just like I was, I think the Packers were wrong to give Aaron Jones that money.
So are you just talking about the running back position?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Not the player. You know I'm a huge Aaron Jones guy. I'm going to root for he's on my team.
Right.
But when it comes to paying a running back on a second deal, it very rarely works out. It might work out for a season, but you have to admit, has Zeke lived up to that contract?
Not yet.
Not even a shred. Even if he has a good year this year.
You don't think? You don't think one good year will live up to the four that he signed for?
What?
The
only way that you could even make the case is if he does it on the back end, which is very rare. Usually it's going to be, you know, because then it's like, oh, I forgot about those 2 years because right now. But for 2 years, it was a terrible deal.
So far, yeah, you're right. Correct. But as far as terrible deals, you think that the Knicks spent a little too much money, right, as far as in the wrong places?
I think the Knicks would have been better off just kind of keeping things as is. I like the fact that they did re-sign Alec Burks. Is that Alec Burks or Alex Burke?
Yeah.
Either way, you guys know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
3 years. $30 million. That's what I'm saying. Even him.
That's like a Aaron Hicks deal where it's like $10 million a year.
Perfect. That's like a really good, you know, the third best free agent wide receiver is getting paid that.
Which is insane.
Right?
Yeah.
But this guy's like a decent bucket in the fourth quarter off the bench.
We did lose my favorite hairstyle on the Knicks. We did lose, I can't think of his name at this moment.
Reggie Bullock.
Thank you. Bullock. I was a big Bullock guy, a fan of his hair where it kind of looked like Corbin, what was the guy from Fifth Element? Anybody see that movie? Or am I the only one? No, well, Bruce Willis is in it, yes, but his name was Corbin Dallas. Ruby Rod. It was played by Chris Rock. Remember that guy? Okay, nobody remembers.
I'm not
that
a movie guy.
God, this is like, I need a movie pocket. You know what? I just got to link up with Alan Austin again, and we're just going to cut into more of those. But anyway, so they do sign Fournier for how much?
$80 million.
Fournier, sorry. For $89 million?
$19.5 million a year over four, so 78.
Now, excuse me for not knowing this because, again, I'm not as NBA savvy as you guys. Where is he coming from?
France.
Or, I know, he went from the Magic to the Celtics.
You're talking about his nationality.
He's come from the Celtics.
Yeah, no, Celtics.
He's Boston. He's the guy that got chippy with KD on the sideline. Oh, we actually have a post.
Yes, we do. I like this kid. I like this kid. You know, I was very surprised. 30,
but it's okay. He's not a kid.
He's a kid when he's younger than me. They're officially kids. You know who I was very surprised to see on the move?
He also looks like he's 48.
He's got the Greg Oden thing going on.
But only, like, he's like a light-skinned black Frenchman and he's balding.
Phenomenal comparison. I like it. I like it.
He doesn't look like he's an NBA player, except for the fact that he's 6'8".
What about a homeboy who signed with the Heat, who left town, who left the champs?
Oh, PJ Tucker.
Yeah, man. What was that all about?
We got some dogs in the Heat now, baby. Jimmy Butler and PJ Tucker. That's going to be some heated practices.
Yeah, well,
bunch of dogs at those practices. Bunch of dogs.
I was going to say, you know, it's funny. I think I said take a shot every time he says dog. You'd be drunk and dead in like 4 minutes in his little post. I was very surprised to see him leave. I don't know why. I just feel like sometimes these feel-good role players stick with their squads, and he just said, I'm taking the bag.
That dirty money.
Yes. Yeah. Tim Hardaway, re-up with Dallas. You say too much money. Yes?
Of course.
I like Tim Hardaway Jr. I do like this kid.
I like his father.
His father was great.
His father has had some unfortunate run-ins with the media.
Has he?
I haven't really looked into Tim Hardaway Sr.
But
Google him.
Google it.
Maybe they buried it since because his son is having moderate success. But he's definitely anti LGBTQ.
Oh, one of those guys. Yeah. Okay. One of those Neanderthals out there who are just can't get it right, can't catch up with the times. Ice Trae Young making $207 million to stay with the Hawks. He gets his re-up, and obviously that's well-deserved. I mean, like that again, $207 million in the NBA, a different ballgame, but he is my favorite player in the NBA. So after he decided to ruin our season.
Dave was probably, I think Dave was reading his laptop and I was like, I said the Trae Young.
You did it already? Contract. Son of a bitch, dude.
Max extension, but it's got an escalator in it where if.
What does that mean?
I'm telling you now, guys. I know the listeners already heard me say this, but
I'm zeroed in. Go ahead.
So it's if he makes an All-NBA team in the 4 years that he's signed, 5 years that he's signed to, it automatically extends to the Supermax.
Oh,
it,
okay.
Like, elevates. Okay. So I, that...
You know who also signed? Trae Young has an extension.
Wait, Twilight Zone. And then Dak.
Dak and Young. Combo.
There's my sixth. Dak reference comes from Gucci on that one. Anyway, so yes, NBA free agency off to a hot start. The Knicks put themselves in a position to kind of compete next year, but not really take that next step because now hear me out. A lot of people are saying, and when I say a lot of people, just the people that I've talked to and the people that I listen to have said that the Knicks didn't make these big splashes, quote splashes, because there's a possibility to trade for a Dame Lillard. That's why, like, they have to have the room for that. And if they add Lillard to the team they have assembled right now, I can foresee them being a legitimate contender in the East next year with a guy like Dame Time. Like, that guy is a game changer. We've seen it time and time again. And yes, there's links to it, but there's no actual sources to it. We get it.
I'm going to need Dave to write down his definition of legitimate contender.
Again, maybe top three seed in the East.
So were they a contender last year?
No, well, that came out of nowhere. I mean, that came out of literally left field. Like, expected them. They were predicted to win 30 games, bro.
Because they exceeded expectations that they were supposed to win 30 games, and then they exceeded those. That didn't make them a contender. I don't think that Dame is. I'm a big Dame fan.
You are.
Dame isn't going to make the Knicks a contender as constructed right now.
Really?
No way. Because. Two things. One, Julius Randle isn't going to be as good
mm-hmm.
because now he's not the guy, right?
Don't you think that taking the pressure off of Julius Randle with a Dame Lillard makes him even better?
Dame is arguably a liability on defense, so that goes against what the Knicks do well.
Well, right? Maybe under Thibs, he can be a better defender.
Quite possibly, but at the wrong side of 30, more likely than not. Mm. It's more likely that he's not. You're not putting this on because I just fucked up twice. So you might as well just delete that now.
What? Oh, man. That was good.
He's trying to get me to do video, which I would have done, but because I fumbled my words, that's what you're hearing now, people. I just told AJ to put the fucking camera away so I could go back
to my
rack. What a
distraction. Cameras in the faces. Anyway.
But the main reason isn't really anything to do with how the Knicks are constructed. The Knicks roster is constructed well. I guess I see what they're trying to do if that's the case to trade for Dame. I personally don't think it's the right move. It'll be a lot like the Melo days where they get a star, the city will get behind it, but then they'll just fall short in the playoffs again because Dame hasn't really had the most success in the playoffs anyway. As much as he's been really good as an individual, his team success is not translated. I don't see much of a difference because you look at the rest of the East.
Do you think the
Heat are looking real good? They're coming. They look like they have a shot to make another run as long as they can stay healthy. And the Bucks, the only guy that they lost is Tucker. That team is still the same, correct?
With Giannis, yeah. I
don't think that Dame is going to come in and be the difference to take them over the team.
If you had to choose, the team that surrounds you, what is a better team for Dame Lillard for success, the Blazers or the Knicks right now as constructed?
Well,
Dame did a lot of stuff for the Blazers. You know what I mean?
I would say the Knicks probably for the simple fact that the West is loaded
right
through eight. The East only has like three or four teams, but then there's a lot of teams that are young and up and coming. The Hawks. I mean, you could even say Boston's still up and coming because they regressed a little bit.
I feel like they're in flux.
A team like Philly.
Yeah, I guess they won't go away. Is that kid staying with Philly? I mean,
I can't see them moving him with the asking price that they have. It's control of four first rounders. He's worth nothing. Can't shoot. I understand he's a really good defender and he does everything
Ben
else
Simmons
well.
You're talking about, right? Yes.
Yeah, but four first rounders for a guy that's
that's not worth
an offensive liability.
That is not worth anything. But yeah, so NBA free agency, spend a lot of time on that, maybe too much time, but it's happening. So now it's literally time to segue right back into the NFL talk, because I think that the NFL, again, our wheelhouse, training camps are progressing. There was some news before we get into the Dolphins that I don't know how serious it might be, but Kenny Golladay leaves practice today with a hamstring injury. And we just talked about the Eagles losing their Devonta Smith receiver. So all of a sudden these receivers, you know, they're dropping a little bit here and there. You know, different ball game than last year as far as training camp and OTAs before that and getting your feet under you. I understand that these NFL teams, they like to move locations to go like away from where they're at for training camp. But some of these locations suck. You know, Oxnard, California for the Dallas Cowboys, seven. What's the over under? Because I'm going to try to push the over. No. Like, I watched the practice last week.
The Dolphins that we're about to break down play the Cowboys. So there's an automatic.
Automatic what?
Reference.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you better pause on your automatic win.
Potentially.
All right, potentially. Depends on where the game is. I'm pretty sure it's in Dallas. But anyway, what I'm saying is the conditions of these fields, and I'm watching the Giants practice, I'm watching the Eagles, Dallas, all these teams, they go to these off-site locations for the fans, you know, for people to just be able to gather around and all this stuff, but the fields stink. They're
stealing the Packers' business model, by the way.
But it just sucks. Like, these fields are slick, and guys are slipping all over the place. Bro, the Dallas Cowboys have spent $1 trillion on a practice facility. Go there. And I understand that they can't for the sole purpose of it's 110 in Dallas and it's 75 degrees in Oxnard, California. That's the difference.
So Jerry's World doesn't have a fucking practice bubble?
It does.
Like the rest of the fucking league?
But it does. But how effective is that if you're going to practice on turf the entire training camp when there's going to be grass fields that you play on?
Who plays on grass?
Who plays on grass?
Isn't it all field turf at this point?
Green Bay?
Bro,
I think Soldier Field.
Wait, you're telling me Green Bay's not on grass?
Green Bay is like a different. It's like a. It's not. Nothing is natural grass anymore.
No,
no.
You can't think.
Nobody's ever dirty. You ever? When was the last time you seen a fucking team play with dirty uniforms?
That's a very good point. It's a very good point. Wow. Wow. Like, these are the things. Like, my head's about to explode. There's got to be. I was going to say Oakland. Oakland, when they were playing in Oakland, were still playing in the goddamn baseball field.
And look what happened. They're the fuck out of there.
What do we got, AJ? Anybody?
Two interesting things. So, I mean, this article is posted in 2019, but it said that Levi Stadium, Arrowhead Stadium, Soldier Field, Heinz Field, State Farm Stadium, and Lambeau Field all have natural grass still. And then in 2020, at the end of 2020, the NFLPA was asking teams to change all fields back to natural grass.
Not going to happen. And when you say natural grass, it's not dirt. It's a very different.
It's like sod.
Yeah, it's a very different thing than what you're thinking of natural grass. It's just very different.
Okay. But anyway, it doesn't seem like it's good playing conditions for some of these guys that are trying to rev it up as preseason is approaching. So injuries will pile up. I stepped
on Lambeau Field, and that shit is anything but fucking natural grass.
I actually, in my wallet right now, you want to see something cool? Trusty dusty wallet here. Move my grandma out the way for a second. It's in there somewhere. I definitely ripped up some of the Dallas turf when I was there last time, and I left it in my wallet.
Dave made the mistake of thinking that I would think that Dallas's turf is cool. For his eighth reference of the fucking podcast.
Listen to All About the Star, debuts tomorrow if you're all a Dallas Cowboy fan. I know you're probably like, I'm turning this shit off. He keeps talking about the Cowboys. And we were wondering why numbers were trending in the wrong direction for a half a second. And that's why. Too many Dallas Cowboy references. But we will go into the Miami Dolphins. Finished second in the AFC East last year. Obviously, the Bills won that division, but they did finish ahead of the Patriots and ahead of the Jets. So now heading into Miami. We said it on this podcast, I believe, that this team was heading in the right direction as far as their coach, their culture down there. It was a little weird last year when they were trying to finagle the whole Tua and Fitz situation where they were like kind of bringing in Fitz whenever they felt like it, and they felt like Tua couldn't get it done in certain spots of the game. But now it's Tua's team. His backup is Jacoby Brissett, so he's actually a serviceable backup, but it seems to me that now going forward, this is Tua's team for the rest of time until he's gone, not there anymore. Tua led Dolphins. When you look at their running backs, They still, wow, it's funny. They still got Malcolm Brown over there. But Miles Carroll Gaskins as your RB1. He came on like a savage last year.
I love Gaskins.
Gaskins is a monster. He definitely came on. His receiving core, other than their suspended Will Fuller, I believe he's missing the first six for PEDs, if I'm not mistaken. But he does have Devontae Parker. They draft Jalen Waddle. So they definitely have weapons for Tua. So this offense, Mike Gesicki being the tight end, I think he's out right now. That's why I believe they just made a move to take another tight end in their offense. But when you look at this offense, Gooch, they're kind of bred to win now, right? I mean, like this, the team is definitely better than the two teams that are ahead of right now as far as their division is concerned. I think they're more stacked offensively than the Patriots and the Jets, correct?
I think there's the big question mark surrounding them is the quarterback. So is he ready? If he's ready, then they're gonna win some fucking football games. If he's not, then they're gonna be a middle of the pack, and they could finish anywhere. I don't think they're gonna overtake Buffalo, even though I'll get into that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What I think of Buffalo, I think they're still just too good for the rest of their division. But there's a chance that Miami takes a regression a little bit because the second year quarterback, there's some film on him now. Defenses are gonna smarten up on how to handle him. And we'll see. Is he the real deal or not? I do believe their coach is the real deal. I know there was a lot made about the fact that they were pulling Tua in late in games, but to me that's a sign that the head coach has the pulse of his team on lock. Meaning veterans on that team knew that Fitzpatrick gave them a better chance to win late in games. But they also knew that Tua was the future. So when you got a team that's playing hard, it doesn't matter about Tua's ego or his psyche. He's an NFL quarterback. If you have to turn to your veteran player and the backup gives the team a better chance, then the backup has to go into that spot. I don't care about psyche. So I applaud Flores for doing the hard thing and making those moves. I think if you saw the way he had his team playing at the end of, not last season, but the season before that, is when I realized this coach is good. The players play hard for him. They had nothing to play for, but they knocked me out of my survivor pool. So that's when I actually noticed it was the Colts game. I think it was a tie, maybe.
You lose on those? Like you lose?
There was a rule where you got to win.
Yeah, it's true. You got to win.
So I like their offense. I like what their offensive line is decent. They lost a lot of guys, but managed to revamp it. They're 2 years ahead on a rebuild. The major issue with the Dolphins right now was their greatest strength was their secondary, and now
Xavier Howard wants out,
and he has a point. He's by far a top five corner in the NFL, and
would you say he's like two or three? Right? I mean,
no.
After Jair, who's next?
Ramsey.
Okay, but then I said three, so you tell me Xavier Howard's not
so
there.
So he's three, four, or five.
Okay, fine.
I'm not going to.
So yeah, you said top five. We'll take that. But yeah, he's got a very valid point,
and he's not the top paid corner on his team. Your boy, your
Byron
former
Jones,
boy,
yeah.
Byron Jones is making a shit ton more money than him. And, you know, he has a right to be pissed off. I
think Xavier Howard is 1,000% better than Byron Jones. You know what I mean? And Byron Jones is, look, he's got hands like concrete. You know what I mean? Like, he can never actually bring him down. Great bump and run cover guy. He's physical at the line. He's definitely a good cornerback. But he's not turning the ball over. He's not getting the picks that he needs.
He's also allowed to be a lot better because Xavier Howard is covering the fucking
correct. So now you
stud.
Get
he draws that assignment. Two. He draws that assignment. He's shadowing the best player. He deserves to be paid a little bit more. But the Dolphins right now, they're not into paying players. They're into trading players for a guy that they could get something out of in the next couple of years. So, you know, that model works to keep teams relevant, but the Dolphins haven't been relevant in a while. So you need to get relevant first. They need to pay these guys, get some wins under their belt, get some playoff appearances, and then the Dolphins could start operating the way the Packers operate.
Something I will say about Tua, you know, we talked about how him and Fitz were like little interchangeable parts last year. I will say he's another year removed from that nasty injury. So, like, that's a big thing. Maybe that was something that Flores saw that, like, all right, we really can't give this kid all the work because he's really not there yet physically. But now you have another season removed from that injury, and that's why I think the Miami Dolphins might be flying high offensively. Defensively, you better hope they get this Howard thing situated because, again, you want to make a 10th, 11th, 12th reference to the Dallas Cowboys. They've been linked to have offered and tried to shop for Xavier Howard in the spring. So there are a couple teams that would definitely part ways with a first-round pick for this kid, and it would be a sign and an extension. So that could be a thing. They got to get him happy. So when you look at this schedule, you know, again, last year finished second in the division. Their preseason games include Chicago, Atlanta, Cincinnati, two road games, one home. Their first two games are division games. So that makes, right off the rip, you got to split. You're in New England, and then you're home against Buffalo. I think yesterday I had Miami coming into Foxborough and winning. I'm not sure. I would have to check the tape. I don't remember exactly what I was saying. But in those first two games, division games are everything, especially when it's going to be a tight race like we think it might be after, you know, the Jets to finish last. But a three-team race, potentially. We'll get into the Bills tomorrow. But when you start your season off with New England and Buffalo, that's relatively tough. And then they got to go on the road. So two of their first three games are on the road. They go to Vegas, who have, you know, we'll cover the Raiders later on in this, but I think they're not nobody to walk all over. Their schedule's tough. Then you got to go home against Indy. Then you got the champs. Their first, like, I don't even want to call it a kick. What's up?
AJ, pull up the
over-under. Yeah, please. It's nine.
Minus 135 over.
Okay.
I can't understand. Are you looking at, I've never really understood why they would ever put a win over under win total at nine. Shouldn't it be 9.5 or 8.5?
There's a bunch listed at the even thing because they're basically hoping that people push because I have them exactly 9 wins.
Okay. So that's, yeah. I mean, yesterday, wasn't it?
It was, I think, 8 or something
like that. Yeah. So it was another solid number.
They're hoping people push.
Yeah. Nobody makes money
on
that.
No. They're not vigging out on that. They want it to be 8.5. Right.
Well, then nobody will take nine. Nobody will take nine. Is what I'm saying. Like nobody will take nine. They'll be like in your mentality. You're like they'll definitely win 10 games, or they'll definitely win 8 games. You know what I mean? Like so that's why they put it there as like the one that's almost too obvious and too easy. Maybe these solid numbers are coming out because there's an extra game.
No, because there's not an extra half a game.
I understood. I've
never understood why they did that. That's another conversation.
First cakewalk game I think they'll have is, I believe this game is in London against the Jaguars. They should probably win that game, and that's not until week 6. So every other game before that is a competitive one.
And the Jaguars play in London every year. That's like a home game.
They need to just move.
No, like, I mean, not to London.
No, I'm just saying. What about the fact that you heard about, speaking with the AFC East, staying in that, did you hear about the Buffalo Bills threatening to move to Austin, Texas?
Not going
to
happen.
I mean, does the state of Texas need another team? Like, come on.
They could always go to California and be the 11th team that didn't work out there.
The San Diego Bills, where there are no Buffaloes. But anyway, so after Jacksonville comes Atlanta. And then at Buffalo again, another probably a cakewalk against Houston. So I'm looking at four or five wins already in the first 9. Maybe they go 5-4. And then Baltimore's no cakewalk. That's on Thursday Night Football. Then they get the Jets, which will probably split with the Jets. Maybe. I don't know. Like that's a toss-up. The at the Jets is the first game of the two that they have. And then they play the Giants. They play the Carolina Panthers, a sneaky good team. Then they got the Giants. Their bye week, not till week 14. These week 14 byes are going to trip me up, man. Those are so late into the season. But then technically, I guess they're not because they have that extra week. So it's interesting to see there. They don't have a time on that second Jet game for whatever reason. I guess that's to flex them out. Their Monday Night Football debut comes in week 16 at New Orleans. And of course, they finish up with Tennessee, and their final game is the same way they start the season, and it's home against New England, which I definitely think they're going to split with New England. So if the Miami Dolphins can split their division games, that gives you 3 wins there. You can find a win in Jacksonville. You can find a win in Houston. That's 5 there. The game against the Giants, maybe they take that one. Maybe they take the Vegas game. So I don't know, man. This is a tough schedule. I mean,
7-10.
Swear to God, I was sitting there at 7 wins. 7 wins is where I got the Miami Dolphins. So if you're a gambling person, take the under, I think. I think they're going to – listen, their offense is good, but their defense has question marks, so we'll see.
They're not deep. A lot of teams in the NFL, you have to factor in an injury. Where are they deep? Nowhere.
Correct. I mean, yeah, you're right.
And I know that could go across the board for any team, but I'm just looking at their depth chart. I usually know pretty much everyone on every roster, and there's a lot of guys that I've never fucking heard of here.
So that's
just looking at their schedule.
It's tough. I mean, like a lot of these, the high-flying powered offense that they might have led by Tua and Gaskin's running game.
They managed to get a really tough game in their extra crossover game with Tampa on the road. Very much
that's
like
a very, yeah,
the
it's Packers a very tough.
Drew Kansas City on the road in that game.
Dallas drew New England. in New England. So, but now look, we got him at what? You just referenced the Packers. I'm allowed to do it. Anyway, you got him at 7. AJ, you got a prediction for me? What do you got? The Miami Dolphins, you're a Jets guy, so you're an AFC East mogul. So I'll give you this. What do you got?
9 wins.
9 wins. So, all right. So you're they're coming out with two that they might.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt on some matchups where I think it could go either way.
Okay. So you'll give them you'll lean their way.
Because of Flores. I like Flores a lot.
Okay, cool. So, but with us having them at 7, yesterday, if you reference back to the Patriots, you had them at 9. So all of a sudden, the Dolphins are moving to third. I had the
Patriots at 10.
So, fine. So then the Dolphins are going to finish 3 games behind the Patriots? I guess it's a possibility, right? I mean, that's interesting. I think
10 minus 7.
Yeah, that is that.
That's 3.
That is 3. Chris, good call on that one. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. We'll see. The Dolphins can go either way. They got to get this Howard thing figured out. Obviously, they will one way or another. Either trade him and get a bunch of picks or he's there.
Regardless, he could demand a trade all he wants. He's at camp.
Correct. He's not holding out or anything like that. Out. He's there.
He's going to go play. Right. Is he going to play happy? I don't know.
I mean, who plays happy? They should be all playing angry. But anyway, so the Dolphins to finish somewhere in the range of 7, 8, 9. The over-under set at 9. So the Dolphins could potentially finish third and not be where they were last year. So that would mean a backpedal for the Miami Dolphins. We'll see. I'm sure Fitz will have a fit about that. When I talk about Fitz, not Fitzpatrick, I'm talking about Bobby Fitz. He's going to hear this and be like, what? And I'm sure he'll chime in and talk all about it. So that is our Miami Dolphins preview. We've already touched on the Jets, the Patriots, and the Dolphins. Tomorrow we'll preview the Bills and we'll pick a division winner, which all signs, hey, you know what? Maybe not, because maybe Gooch has the Bills regressing a little bit more than everybody else, and maybe the Patriots get back to the division title. We'll see, but we'll do that tomorrow. So for Sturch and Gooch and, of course, AJ behind the glass, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we will see you guys tomorrow on a Wednesday. Yeah, see? No soft close again.
I forgot what I was going to say again. That's a hard close.